Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is George Hayworth. He's an Army veteran and the founder and CEO of Elite Sentinel Coaching, and he focuses on helping service members successfully transition into civilian life and coaches men to live fuller, more meaningful lives. And we'll talk a little bit about what he does and the type of coaching that he offers. But before we do that, I want to welcome you to the show, George. Really glad to have you here.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. Excited to be here, and let's get to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess before we get into kind of what you're doing now, tell us a little bit about your military service and kind of how it led you to where you are now.
Yeah, so I did ROTC. I got a four-year scholarship, which is kind of funny because I didn't really know what that meant. I just knew I wanted to be in the Army. You know, so I thought I was going to be jumping out of airplanes and kicking indoors and shooting people, and went to school. So that was a little bit disappointing. Every recruiter listening to this is laughing right now. But I did get the chance to go to airborne school as a cadet. That was awesome. But long story short, went active duty, commissioned as a field artillery officer. I was assigned to the 101st Airborne Division. Spent 4.5 years in the division, deployed once to Afghanistan on what's called a Security Forces Advise and Assist team, which I was initially disappointed about, and then it ended up being probably the best possible thing that could have happened to me. So we can maybe circle back to that one. Very long story short, just kind of felt that the decision for my family to continue on active duty was not going to be the right one. So it was about 51% get out, 49% stay in, decided to get out, went into the corporate world for almost a decade now. And after 3 years out, decided to join the National Guard. So I still continue as a weekend warrior for now. It's just enough Army in my life. But you know, overall, the Army was a very positive experience for me. I learned incredible things and met some of the most incredible people I've ever met in my life. So that's a very long service record condensed into about 2 minutes.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think, you know, a lot of people can probably relate to just changes in their life, right? Like you join, you're young and carefree. You don't have, you know, family and other obligations maybe that might be, you know, that you have to consider, and, you know, life happens to you and, you know, things change and your priorities shift. And, I think it's kind of healthy to look at it, the way you might look at any other job, some respect, right? Where it's like, okay, well, this job isn't suiting me anymore. It's not serving me or my family. It's not the right place for me. So it's time to move on and find another, maybe switch careers or just doing similar work, but for a different company, if you will, you know? And so, you know, but transitioning is something that we all do, getting out of the military. I don't care if it's someone in the National Guard or someone who's on active duty for, it could be 4 years, it could be 20 years, however many years, we all transition at some point. And you work with folks who are transitioning from military service, you know, to some extent. Can you talk a little bit about some of those struggles that maybe you faced as you were transitioning out, or maybe even other people that you work with, and what you do to kind of overcome those types of things?
Yeah, certainly. Just to be clear, like my business is for all men. It's not just for veterans.
Sure.
If you are a veteran listening to this, though, I am happy to spend time with you and assist you if you're in transition out of the military, because it's definitely a tough one. Why I think it's so problematic for most men, and I was certainly in this box, not everyone, but definitely a lot, is, you know, there's a lot of things the military gives you as a young man that ticks the box of I'm a man now. Right? It makes you feel masculine and you've done these things and then it's just gone. So now what are you? Right? And so this isn't just a military only problem. Lots of men can fall into this trap early in life where my profession is my identity, but the military is like amped up to 100, you know? And I was certainly this guy. I was looking for a way out of my insecurities and my childhood and all that kind of stuff. And that's a whole separate podcast episode going through all that. But long story short, I did not have security. I was looking to validate myself and prove myself as a man. And I wanted to join for all the, you know, idealistic reasons of serving my country and being something bigger than myself. But a big portion of it too was George needed to feel tough, right? George needed to prove himself. So that was a huge piece of what I got out of the military, but it's kind of a trap where my whole identity then rested on being a combat veteran, a successful leader of soldiers who had done all these things on active duty. And then overnight, it's just gone. And it really put me in a very low place. I thought I had mentally prepared for all this. I'm like, oh, I can handle it. You know, it won't be a problem. And I'll get this great corporate job and life will be good. And I get all my free time back. I can take vacation when I want to. I don't have to get a leave pass or none of that. That kind of snuck up. So there's a lot more to it for my personal story beyond just the military. But I think that mental model is what a lot of young men fall into. Or maybe you are on the other end of it where you did a full career and now you're retiring. This has been your life's work. That's a huge piece of your life story that's just done now. And it is very hard to break free of realizing that I'm still me. I still have things that I'm going to do on this earth and that I have value in, not my job. And the Army is very hard, military in general, is hard to kind of separate those two things unless you're very, very strategic about it and very disciplined about it. To answer the question of like, what do we do about it? I think for most men specifically, male veterans, is talk to other dudes. Surround yourself with brotherhood beyond the military to realize that, like, you know what? We all struggle with the same stuff. That's another huge trap I see, is that like, oh, well, they're not a veteran. They can't be close friends. Dude, some of my best friends don't know anything about the military. They're like, yeah. Oh, you were an officer, so you were a cop? No. But like, you know, I taught them what it meant. But I don't need them to be exactly like me because they bring immense value to my life. And I realize that we have a lot of the same struggles, even though we have vastly different backgrounds. So that honest crosstalk, man to man, is a huge missing piece in culture. And this is why with Elite Sentinel, it's one of the core tenets of how we run our program, is getting men directly engaged with each other like they used to be in the military and actually talking about their real challenges. And honestly, that's probably the number one thing you can do for yourself. Everything else is kind of like added on. But if you're isolated and alone and you don't have people to actually work through your transition period with, like for real, you're going to struggle. It's just a guarantee.
Yeah. And I've talked to many people through this show and other, you know, places I've talked to other veterans. And one of the biggest things is the camaraderie that they miss, that connection that they have with the people that they served with. And you get out and just like you're saying, you feel like nobody else can understand what you did or the, you know, the type of work that you do or any of that kind of stuff in the military because they didn't serve. And so it's like, okay, well then I can't be friends with those people or something, you know, like that's kind of the attitude that sometimes you see in people. And like you're saying, sometimes like none of that stuff matters. Like,
yeah, it really doesn't.
If, you know, if I started off my career as, you know, a financial advisor or something like that. And I moved on and I became a consultant and then I moved on to something else and whatever. It's like, well, I can't be friends with these people because they weren't financial advisors before. It's
right.
Like, that's kind of stupid. That doesn't make any sense.
You're kind of backing yourself into a corner when you do that.
Right. Exactly. So like when you do that, it just really limits the amount of people that you can even interact with, if that's your mindset. And it's like those people have other stuff to bring to the table too, as far as, you know, that camaraderie and things like that. Maybe they're not going to get the same kind of humor that you might have with maybe other veterans,
sure.
You know, but that's going to be a very small group is going to kind of appreciate that type of humor, but you never know, you might find them too. But, so tell us a little bit more. You were talking about the coaching that you do at Elite Sentinel. What type of stuff that do you do in addition to, you know, kind of bringing people together like that? And, you know, what kind of techniques do you employ and things like that?
Yeah. So Elite Sentinel Coaching exists to forge leaders and build legacies. And quite frankly, I think there's a massive gap of authentic masculinity in our culture today, right? We're confused. Most men don't even know what they should be doing, how to do it. And so I wanted to, one, I needed me a long time ago. So I needed this a long time. I had to kind of learn the hard way. So I'm trying to create a system that gives it to men the easy way. And to, you know, I specifically speak to men because that's who I coach. So this isn't like, I'm, you know, trying to say one gender is better than the other. This is just my market, right? This is who I serve and what I exist to do. Long story short, that confusion is causing so many problems because when a man is confused, he has no security. He's not confident in himself. He doesn't show up as the guy he needs to be for his business, for his family, for his marriage, for his friends, all of it. And I think most men today are salty. They're stressed, angry, lonely, tired, and they're yearning for a hell of a lot more than what they've got. And it's that confusion that I think is the starting point. They were never trained how to be a man beyond very specific things of get a paycheck and go be a tough guy. All right. Well, that's like 1% of what life really is, right? So, you know, outside of combat, you're probably not going to be shooting at people. So that skill set is a very, very small portion of a service member's life, but just men in general, right? Very rarely do we need to be this violent thing. You should have the capacity for it, but you're probably not going to need it very often. That is a huge portion of the course, right? So our flagship program is a 12-week program where we put you together in essentially platoons of men. And it's not exclusive to military members on purpose because there is a ton of value where we cross that gap and you learn from each other. So for example, if you're someone who just got out and you join, there's entrepreneurs in this group. They can teach you how to start a business, or maybe you don't want to start a business and you just want to learn how to operate better within your role. There's lots of value gained by getting people together for real. But we take 5 weeks and level set on what does a man really look like, especially in the modern day, and what do you need to do on a daily basis to start feeling confident again and to show up and lead wherever you go. And the emphasis I say lead wherever you go is because even if you're the quote low man on the totem pole at work, you can provide good leadership, bottom up refinement. Hey boss, I've ran the numbers. If we do this, this, and this, we can improve by that. That's a great suggestion, Jimmy. Thank you. So that's what men should be doing because one, it feels great to be able to provide value to others. And if we're not doing that, we're just kind of passing the buck, right? So we spend 5 weeks on that. Then we dive heavily into proven leadership tactics and techniques that come mostly from the military, but also balanced through my experience in the corporate world, kind of giving it to men in a very packaged way that they can take it and apply it to family, to business, to, you know, mentorship programs they're doing, church, whatever it is, you can take these skills and run with them. And then we stress the importance of brotherhood and legacy, communication styles, things like that. So in 12 weeks, I take a man who's lost and confused, he's feeling salty, and we turn you from a weakling into a warrior. We give you all the tools you need to step into your life, whatever role you're in, whatever season of life you're into, with confidence and assurance. And oh, by the way, now you have an entire company of men in your corner that you can rely on. Any day of the week, you pick up the phone, they will all answer. So that is something that men are missing. And that's why I focus so heavily on kind of these fundamental things, because we can talk about business and finance and all these min-maxing type of things. But if you haven't fixed you internally first, it's all just a Band-Aid. So we bring men back to their core, give them the tools, and then get them on their way. My goal is that you don't need me long-term. If I've done my job well, you feel so confident and so successful. You've built some good relationships with the men in your program, and you can move on and out and not need me ever again. My goal, ultimately, is to put myself out of business, that we heal this country enough that men just know how to do this again, and I don't have to exist.
Exactly. I think one of the things that you were talking about, that how it feels good to provide value, is one of the things that you said. And if you think about it, if you go to work, whatever your job is, and you punch a clock, you get in at 9, you leave at 5, and you have to be there for a particular amount of time. You go and do your work, and if every single day you go in and you're like, hey, this could definitely be done better, but that ain't my job, so I don't care. Every single day, you're going to be looking at that. It's like, I know I could have already been done with this task, that's whatever this thing is that you had to do. And it's going to start eating at you. And you're going to start to feel like crap when you're sitting there and day after day after day, you're doing the same thing over and over again, taking immense amount of time, that in the back of your head, you're like, I know it shouldn't take this long. Mm-hmm. I know I should be able to do these things quicker, but because we don't have XYZ system in place, or, you know, whatever the procedures are to get it done, well, then it's just not going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And on the flip side to that, you go into work and you go to your boss and you're like, hey, if we just change made a couple little tweaks here, all of this stuff would be done in like half the time. And yeah, the boss, I cannot imagine a boss that's going to be like, well, you know what? Yeah, maybe it would be half the time, but you know what? We're good. We're just going to keep it the way it is, right? Like that doesn't. Right.
So we give you the tools, if that's the case, to help you find a better job where you're actually getting appreciated. Because what that means is the challenge today is most men are so afraid to hold their own standards for themselves. They think holding a boundary for themselves and respecting themselves enough to say, yeah, I'm not going to play part in that, is somehow arrogance or toxic or some other label that's been thrown on it. And it's insane, because if you play the flip the gender game, that whole argument falls apart, right? If a woman holds a boundary, it's totally acceptable. The second a man wants to do it, it's a problem, right? So in a lot of ways, I'm kind of giving men permission to just be themselves again. And we teach and untrain how people pleasing is so damaging. And most men today are honestly people pleasing. They're doing it at work. They're doing it in their marriage. They're doing it with their kids. They're doing it with their friends. They're doing what everyone tells them to do. And then they wonder why they're so stressed out and hate themselves so much. Well, it's because you're doing what everyone else is telling you to do. And it doesn't mean be an arrogant jerk. It just means sometimes the right answer and the healthy answer is no thanks. Nope. So for example, we have a guy, one of our earliest members, who was in a very situation like that at work, where not working out very good. They clearly weren't taking his, you know, suggestions and all that kind of stuff. So he resigned and he had a new job that was higher paying in a better position where they can't wait to get him on board in less than 2 weeks. And that wasn't just George is amazing and George taught him how to do it. It was the entire brotherhood giving him advice and counsel and the courage to stand for what he truly believed in, because they wanted him to start doing things that were in direct conflict to his personal values and beliefs, and navigated to a better career situation in a matter of 2 weeks simply because he had the courage again to say no, right? In your example too, I've helped a client go to his supervisor, lay out ways to improve, and the supervisor loved it so much. He's like implementing all this, and clearly this is like, you know, giving him a lot of negotiation for like either a pay raise or a promotion. So like this is just one little thing we work on together. Life is not just your job, but we're certainly going to help you with it because it matters, you know?
It does matter. It's a big chunk of your day. You know, if you sleep for 8 hours a day, you go to work for 8 hours a day, well, that's 16 hours of your whole day, you know, already. And so work is a big chunk of your day. Why not feel fulfilled in the work that you do? And if you're not feeling it because, you know, your boss is not giving you the support, or, you know, whatever it is that you're not feeling, like there's nothing wrong with changing careers, changing jobs, going to a different company where you are respected, your input is valued, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people might be afraid, like, oh, geez, if I tell them how much time it will actually take, well, maybe I won't have a job. Well, like you're not going to work yourself out of a job. Like if you're adding value, they want that. Yeah. They and if they don't want that, then you probably don't want to work for that company, kind of to your point, right?
Yeah, but and we teach you how to carry yourself in a way that people recognize what you're worth. You know what I mean? And that's not arrogance. It's just self-respect, right? Like, hey, I know who I am and I'm not deceiving myself. I'm not acting like something I'm not, but by just working hard, providing value, and then reminding people of the value that I've created, that's what you're supposed to do. You certainly have to do that in the military, right? You got to brag about yourself on your evaluations or make sure that your supervisor saw what you were doing, right? It's not necessarily being a spotlight ranger to just simply account the things that you've actually made an impact in. And that's like a skill that's kind of lost. So this is just one tiny thing men gain from coming through the program. But again, that stems from that core internal thing first, where there's no self-respect and no self-confidence. And when we fix that, the ripple effects, there are collateral advantages. Every little piece of your life starts improving. So for many guys, that's their marriage. They're so afraid to hold any boundary with their wife or ever disagree with their wife because they think that that's how they have to be. And it's actually quite the opposite. In many cases, you should be correcting her. And I know that a lot of people are going to hear that and go, what do you mean? You can't correct your wife. Actually, I'm here to tell you, you can. And when I started finally doing it in my own marriage, that's when things got a lot better, a lot spicier, a lot more enjoyable. You know, the time together is definitely a lot more fiery. So if that's what you're looking for, guys, like, we teach you how to do that kind of thing. It's not just in the workplace.
Sure. Absolutely. And as you were saying, you have a whole group of people who are benefiting from this. And when one of those people gets better in a particular area, they all, it's kind of the rising tides, you know, kind of thing.
You're alluding to like the importance of your network, right? Like that phrase, your network is your net worth. It's not cliche. It is the God's honest truth. As soon as I embrace that in my life, like, my life has just transformed in the last 2 years in ways I couldn't possibly imagine. And that's what we do within Elite Sentinel too, is because you're getting access to dudes who actually have your best interests in mind. Here's how you know, you can test right now, your five closest friends. If you won a huge thing or got a big deal or got a huge promotion at work, are they going to celebrate for you or are they going to be jealous? Yeah. If they're jealous, get them out of your life right now. You do not need those people around you. You need the people around you who are like, dude, let's go, man. I love it. Congratulations.
Exactly.
Because that's the guy who's going to help you smash through every barrier, every wall, and he will answer your phone call whenever you're struggling. Those are the types of guys you want to surround yourself with. If you don't have that, it's time to make some friends. Maybe this program isn't for you. Please go make some friends. Call a buddy up. Be like, dude, it's been a long time. Can we go get lunch? I respect you. I want to hang out more often because you're a valuable guy and I value your input. Start with that. But if you don't have that kind of circle, you are setting yourself up for failure in every aspect of life. Your job, your marriage, your friend groups, everything you set out to accomplish, you will be depleted as a man if you don't have a strong brotherhood around you like that.
Absolutely. And the different skill sets that people bring to the table too, that you can learn from.
Oh, yeah.
And you probably even recognize this.
I learned from my client.
Yeah, but also I would imagine being in the National Guard where you have soldiers who, you know, weekend warrior type thing. I was in the National Guard too, so I'm familiar with what I'm talking about here. But they all have civilian jobs, well, for the most part. I mean, some people work, you know, active, you know, Guard Reserve, that type thing. But for the most part, people have a civilian
job. At least 90% of people are, you know, M-Day. Yeah.
Exactly. So I know when we deployed as a National Guard unit, we had mechanics. People who worked their civilian job, they worked as a mechanic. And so when our trucks would break down, we didn't have to wait for the army mechanics to come. They were coming, diagnosing it, and then going over to the actual mechanics and saying, hey, you have this, that part, whatever. We'll just fix it now and be on our way. And that was super valuable. And you know, sometimes people would learn from other people, like what their skills were, and they would cross train each other, and like we all were better off for it because we had so many other skills just within that one unit. I mean, we're an infantry unit, but we had mechanics, we had accountants, we had police officers, we had all sorts of civilian careers incorporated into there, and so there was a lot of different background with that. And so in a group like what you're talking about, I can see tons of value there. You know, whether it's an entrepreneur, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a, who knows, whatever the career is, that these people have, maybe they're students, you know, it doesn't matter. They all have something that they can bring to the table and they can help each other out. Right.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something I actually like kind of force through the project, through the program is, like you get assigned a battle buddy and you become responsible for him. And that's one of the most impactful things for most of these people, because they've never had a guy like that in their life. And I try to pair people with differing backgrounds on purpose for exactly that reason, because it forces you to stretch. And really the thing that makes all of this possible is humility, right? So humility isn't necessarily something you would associate with being a very strong, masculine man. I beg to differ. The more that I've been humble, it's more of a, because honestly, you have to be strong first in order to have humility. You have to not be threatened by someone else's success or something to be humble about yourself and hear them out. it's actually a sign of strength, right? The strong man isn't going on someone's, you know, internet page or their socials and talking smack. He's out doing things, you know?
Yeah.
So in this group setting, when you have the mutual humility and respect to hear a differing opinion or hear a suggestion and then take it and run with it, that's where excellence grows. It's not in how hard you work necessarily. It's transforming the way you think. And that's a huge section of what we teach, is changing the way your mind works, because we're all running a program like software. You're conditioning your whole life, your childhood, your experiences, all that kind of stuff. Maybe your social status, right? Oh, you came from a poor family. You're conditioned to think a certain way today, and everything is reinforcing it. Everything is mind control. So we give guys the permission to kind of shatter that, change the programming, and just realize that, hey, maybe I am capable of more. I don't have to be some super awesome guy with all the resources in the world to raise above where I'm currently at. I can just work smarter or have some friends, know people, and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of that that goes on. And that's one for me, seeing it play out with each class. That's one of the most impactful things I see men get out of it, is the way in which they think about themselves differently and the way that they start showing up in the different areas of their life as a result of that crosstalk with other men with different backgrounds, with the backdrop of the course that they've been working through and learning, right? So you combine the knowledge they're gaining with the experiences of the differing men, and it's this catalyst for like completely altering how they view themselves. And when a man trusts himself again and respects himself and keeps his promises to himself again, he starts showing up as a very different dude when he walks out into the world. And that dude is a much better guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to, for the listeners, kind of a, an example of what you're talking about, when you pair these people up that are kind of opposites. When I was deployed to Afghanistan, I was a team leader. The other team leader in our squad, he and I were like yin and yang. We were like, I was kind of calm, cool, you know, not that he didn't have those moments too, but he was a little more, you know, hot-headed and aggressive. Yeah. and that type of person. Right. And we started the deployment and we were like these opposites. Right. And then as time went on, we kind of started to have the Venn diagram get a little closer.
Yep.
of our personalities and how we did things. And, you know, he was taking some stuff. He was watching me and how I did things. And he was like, okay, you know, I can take some of that and I can learn. And I was looking at him and I was like, you know, sometimes I got to be a little more aggressive than what I've been doing. And so I gotta get in there and I gotta kind of take a little page out of his book. And towards the end of the deployment, like we were solid. Like we were, you know, in step with basically, like if he said jump, I was jumping. If I said it, he was jumping. Like we were good to go. You know, everything, we were pretty tight, with that. And we helped each other out with these different things. And you know what? I don't even know that we realized we were doing it at the time. Mm-hmm. I think it was just kind of a natural thing that just started happening. As we were working through things, we just kind of figured it out. And it was a kind of the beautiful part of having these two people who are kind of opposites to just come together and work together.
Yeah. That's a huge part of what we train is, you know, everyone has their own style and how to be authentic to your style, but still incorporate good tools from other people. Right. And I think that's a lot of my own success, whether it was in the military or now in business, wasn't because I'm actually the best at anything. It's maybe only because I'm the best at learning the fastest, right?
Yeah.
Seeing what other people are doing, what's working, and adapting it as I see fit to my style and running with it. And also accepting rebuke. Hey, bro, too intense on this. Ooh, that's a good point. Yeah, I should settle down. Yeah. Like having that positive pressure around you to kind of sharpen your edges, calm you down where you need to be calmed down, propel you up when you need it up. Like that is a superpower. It is the catalyst to all of your growth as a man, is having those respected people around you like that. And your example that you shared is exactly what happens when men work together out of mutual respect towards a common goal. Like it's just a natural outcome that you're both going to progress upwards towards a better version of yourself, because no man can get there by themselves. The lone wolf gets eaten It's in the strength of the pack that he's protected, right? And so if you're walking through life thinking that you're going to just figure out having the perfect marriage, being the best guy at work, being physically fit, being mentally tough, morally straight, and all these things by yourself, you are lying to yourself. There is no way you're going to handle all of that pressure within, and all of that limited by only your knowledge. It's just impossible. It doesn't happen. That's why when we get guys coming in the program and on the other end of it, they're like, man, I see now how much I was setting myself up for failure, how hard I made it on myself. This stuff isn't like that hard, honestly. It's just some intentional effort with really good people around you. And when you do that, the growth is unbelievably fast. Like, I think a lot of guys get in this mindset too, where they think, oh, well, in order for me to improve, it's going to take me a decade, right? Oh, to make my marriage better, it's going to be this huge, long struggle. It's going to be really hard, man. It's like, nah, man, some of this stuff is you just tweak a couple levers and you start showing up as a better dude and your marriage just reignites in a matter of months. Like, unless there's massive trauma or something to unpack, a lot of guys are having a lot better marriages very rapidly. And so that's another thing, is your growth can kind of like progress upward very quickly, exponentially. It doesn't have to be this linear equation. And your example that you shared is exactly how that happens. In one deployment, you went from being kind of a one-dimensional leader to learning tools and tricks and tactics from someone else that's very different than you. And both of you got better for it, right?
Yeah.
That's the point of having a brotherhood, is to do that for every aspect of your life, not just a deployment. But that's what we do. We fall into this trap of, oh, we were in the military and it worked in the military, and that's the only place it's ever going to work.
Right. Right. And all those lessons, they certainly can be applied in the civilian world. They could be. Yeah.
Leadership is universal. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You need to apply a different lens on it. And this is, again, I kick myself over this. It took me so long to like really figure this out, and I should know better than anyone, right? With my background. But like all of the things that make a good company commander make a great husband. You just have to show up in a slightly different frame, but it's all the same stuff. It's the same core principles and tenets and values. Like, we treat it like it's this magically different thing. And it's like, you got to tweak a few things. And I'm going to show you how to do that. I learned the hard way. I'm going to show you the easy way, so you can not do what George did for like a decade.
Right.
But yeah, it's really not that hard, right? It's this belief we've convinced ourselves of. It's that programming that, oh, well, this was that. It can't be for this. And it's just not true.
Yeah. And sometimes, to your point, sometimes the best teachers are going to be the ones who have screwed it up. Not necessarily screwed it up, but have done it the hard way. Let's put it that way.
I definitely screwed it up.
Well, you took the hard road, where you could have gone a much easier route. And once when the light bulb went off and you're like, oh my gosh, I could have gone that way and it would have saved me so much hassle and time and energy and all this other stuff that went wrong. I could have done this other thing and it would have been awesome. And then it's like, well, yeah, shout it from the rooftops. Tell everybody about this. Yep. So that nobody else has to go that way and figure it out on their own, if they even figure it out, because they may just get so entrenched in doing it the hard way. Right. And then they never get to see the light of the way that it could be, you know, and that's definitely not something that we want people to do. And to your point, when you have that exponential growth where things just skyrocket in any one particular area of your life, whether it's your marriage or other relationships, your career, things like that, whatever, other things start to get better too.
Yeah.
Right. I have you experienced that as well?
100%. If you build your foundation the right way, when you train yourself and relearn what a real man is, what authentic masculinity really means, when you grow in those pieces first, then wherever you start to have that exponential success, it influences everything else positively. However, if you're a one-dimensional tool and you're, let's say it's your business, right? And you're wanting to increase revenue, and that's what your life is all about, is increasing revenue. And you're still just kind of a scared teenager trying to feel like you're a man because you produce a lot of money. It's not going to change things. it's actually going to make them worse because you're just trying to fill that hole with something. It's a square peg round hole situation. It's never going to work. But when you retrain yourself, build your foundation up as a man first, then when you start to have natural results because you are a better man now, you're more capable, more disciplined, more determined, more confident, you're going to have success. It's inevitable. And then it starts to scatter into other areas of your life. So some things are very big, heavy rocks, right? Ooh, we've got all this trauma in our marriage, all this infidelity, all that kind of stuff. Okay, that's going to take a while to heal, right? But if you're getting stronger, you can finally lift this thing and start making progress. Now, maybe work is going great, but your marriage is struggling. Okay, well, good. Because work's going better, you have more capacity now to work to heal the marriage. It's kind of this catalyst that starts to happen. And what I've noticed in my own life, as well as my clients, is as they start to taste incremental growth and success on that kind of like J curve, that exponential process, they start to root out dysfunction before it ever takes hold. Like before the weeds can even grow, they're cutting it out. And that just becomes habit. It just becomes a constant where it's like, okay, this doesn't look right. I don't like that. We're going to correct it now. We're going to switch that now. We're going to change that now. That's real masculine leadership. You're stopping problems before they even start. And that's where like your family starts to thrive if you're a married man with a family, because you're just creating this culture that's protected and vibrant and your family thrives under it. And same thing in business. If you're a wise leader, you're taking the counsel of your team and your coworkers, but you're also looking ahead and stopping things before they ever become a problem. And then that way, when something does happen unexpectedly, it's the only thing you're dealing with because you've handled everything else. Now, that just becomes the product of a man on a mission who has a purpose and a vision for his life and grows through these things we train in Elite Sentinel. There's no way you're not going to become that guy. Like, you would have to literally show up and do nothing in the course to not get those results. Like the guys who just kind of go through and get enough of it done are getting results. I've yet to have a guy get nothing done after doing the course, because this is what men are designed to do. We've just lost our way.
Yeah. And I think part of it is a mindset too, right? When you're talking about,
I argue it's almost entirely your mindset.
Yeah. Because if you don't want to improve, you're just like, you know, I'm good with where I am. Then don't waste your time, you know, because to your point, you're probably not going to do the work. You're probably not going to be intentional about any of this stuff.
If you have that attitude, I will not work with you.
There you go. Yeah. And nor should you, because it's a waste of your time and probably everybody else's time, because that one person is still going to be stuck back in day one mode when everyone else is on week 12.
I can't have your negativity dragging down the other men in the program.
Right. So it's you have to have that mindset that I want things to improve. I want to get better at whatever, fill in the blank. And I want all of these areas in my life to start getting better. And you have to be intentional about it, and you have to be focused on those good outcomes and find where there are problems and implement solutions so that those problems don't come back again. No matter what they are, any problem can pretty much any problem can be solved if you're focused on it and you put the intentional effort into solving it, as opposed to just fixing it. And by fixing it, I mean if you just put the Band-Aid on it, but it's, you know, a severed limb type of thing.
Right.
The Band-Aid might slow it down temporarily, but eventually that thing's falling off and you're still going to have some problems. Right. So you have to be able to fix the problem and get to the root of it. And I think that's kind of what you were alluding to with some of the stuff that you were just talking about, is that, you know, you really have to have that mindset that I'm going to find these problems that pop up when they pop up, and I'm going to eliminate them. That should be your mission, right? To kind of just get rid of those things so that you don't have to worry about them going forward. Right.
Yeah. I actually think it's kind of a byproduct of the work we do earlier on in the program. You become that man as a result of other things you've done first, right? Other levers you're pulling first, and then you're able to have the capacity and position to actually have that mindset. to get started, all I need from a man is just a little bit of humility and leave your ego at the door. Have an open mind and you will be successful. It's if you just listen and be willing to learn, try a new way, you will succeed. There's no way to fail. This process is proven. It's worked for a lot of guys. You're surrounded by other guys fully committed to it. So as long as you're just humble enough to take some input, you will succeed. It may not be as fast as you want necessarily, depending on the situation of your life, right? If you come to me and your marriage is on absolute crisis mode, well, it's going to take us a little bit of time to heal 15 years of crisis mode, right? Like, I can't fix that overnight, bro. I don't have any magic pills, but I'm going to change you from the inside out. That root cause of why it's been that way, we're going to rapidly shift. And maybe a year from now, you guys are back, you know, dating like teenagers used to, right? So it's not necessarily this insurmountable task, but if you come to me and you're in a position of like, look, I'm in a pretty good spot, but I just want to get to that next level. That's the guy who's going to be like, unbelievably, he won't need me in 3 months. After the 12-week course, he'll be like, this is incredible. Thank you so much. See you later. And I'll be like, outstanding. Way to go, brother. I hope to never hear from you again. Like, that's what I want, is to empower you to have your own way forward so that you don't need me anymore, but you'll still have a brotherhood. You'll have a network of guys who are either professional, you know, mentors or relationship mentors from the relationship you build coming through. And I can certainly help the guys who are struggling. Make no mistake. Like, I've got several guys who their marriages, when they came to me, were on the absolute brink of disaster. You know, they're throwing around the D word, and that's not the case anymore. And we've got a plan in place for how to heal the damage that's been done and all of that. And their wives are responding well to it. So we can certainly work with you on that, but you just got to understand, if that's your situation, that's a hole that's going to take a while to dig out of. We're not going to, we can't work miracles here, but I'm going to change you. You're going to change you. Honestly, I'm just showing you how to do it. You will change yourself from the inside out. And then that's when you'll be able to get to that point where you're talking about that mindset of, okay, I fixed where the bleeding was really bad. We're not bleeding anymore. Okay, now I recognize all the places I need to start working on and attacking. Men are designed to initiate, to cover the ground first. And if you're laying back and anywhere in your life, you're essentially allowing something else to be in control now. You're allowing something else to lead. Your family, you, your business, whatever. A problem avoided is a problem magnified. And so real leaders root them out as soon as possible. And that only comes from when you've built yourself up first to actually have the mental capacity and the personal courage and strength to actually attack things at the root source.
Absolutely. So you mentioned a few times this 12-week course people go through. Tell us what that looks like. Is it all in person, virtual? You know, how does that work as far as the course goes? And what are people kind of going through all of this? What are they doing during all this?
Certainly. So it is a virtual course, right? We like meet Zoom meetings and all that kind of stuff. The course itself is video content I've created. It's all self-guided. I've made this as easy as possible because I designed it for the busy dad, the professional man in mind. You're not going to grad school and piling on 17 hours of coursework on top of your life. It's tactical, efficient, tangible things that you can take and use in real time every single week. And so each week is a different topic and area of focus that we're changing you from the inside out. Really, you're doing it yourself. There's a lot of introspective work where it's like, I'll give you one right now. The very first assignment is the legacy challenge. If you died right now, one, would people even show up to your funeral? Two, what would you hope they would say? And then what would they actually say? And the gap between those two things is the wake-up call that like, ooh, I'm not living my life the way it should be. If you're not happy with the answers that you would answer for yourself, you got work to do, brother. And we're going to show you how to do that. But you've got to be very honest with yourself to actually change. Otherwise, it's just a Band-Aid. But what men get, we start with all that kind of stuff, right? Here is how to really be a true, genuine man that leads at work, in his family, in his relationships, in his friendships, all of it, right? It's a comprehensive level setting on what is authentic masculinity. We get into how to hone your body, your mind, and your spirit. This is where a lot of the mindset stuff comes in. What I've seen typically is after week three, most men are like, I have my confidence back. I hear that very consistently from men. So in 3 weeks, you're already going to be feeling a lot better. And then we're going to put the pedal to the metal and continue your growth, because once you're feeling better, you're going to start doing better. It feels good to feel good. Right. You know, that's where we need to be. We need to be operating from a position of abundance, not scarcity. And what we do is we build you up over those first 5 weeks. That's kind of like the basic training. Then we get heavily into leadership stuff, where this is applicable pretty much across the board. I give you different scenarios for both work or marriage, or raising your kids. And then we go through a lot of how to be a competitive man, to hold standards, to hold boundaries, to tell people no, to give yourself the permission to disappoint others. That's actually what a good leader does, is they disappoint other people pretty frequently, actually, because what's best for everyone is not the thing we want right now, but the thing we need tomorrow. And so leadership requires being the bad guy sometimes. If you do it with love and compassion, we're not going to be a jerk about it, but you hold a firm line. But if you're not all these things that I just talked about before, you can't be that guy because you don't even trust yourself yet. So we get you to that point. And then the final couple of weeks is the importance of your legacy, what it needs to look like, having that long-term vision to steer your life in the direction it needs to go, and leaning into your brotherhood to rely on these men that you've spent 12 weeks now building deep relationship with, and how to leverage them as a force multiplier for yourself for the rest of your life. These should be lifelong friendships. So by the time you're done, like I alluded to earlier, you're feeling confident, capable, you've got an actual blueprint for how to move forward in life. And when you join us, you keep access to it forever. We do a weekly call. In the weekly call, it's celebrating together over wins. And then we dissect that week so that any questions men have, I answer in real time. And then we open it up for like, okay, the dude with the marriage issues, we're going to talk about that together. And everyone learns from each other's scenarios, because that's actually how you learn best as a man, is when it's not your problem, it's someone else's, and you're like, oh, I get it now. Because it doesn't hurt as bad. You can actually take the lesson and put it into full practice because you're not in the midst of the pain. So that's a very high level view of what we do. I do limited one-on-one coaching for people who are like, I really need results really fast. Obviously that comes at the higher cost because it's a lot more intensive. But the 12 week is kind of the flagship program where I recommend most men focus on, because that group aspect of it, as you're doing all of this work on you, you're doing it with other men doing the same thing. And that is generally the thing I've seen to be most transformative for men, is because most of our lives, we don't get that.
That's right. And you mentioned how these people, you know, you find better results when you're helping other people with their problems. But just like we were saying at the beginning of the episode, it feels good to provide value. And so when you're providing value to that person who's struggling with, you know, their marriage or whatever they're going through, and you're helping them, it's like, okay, now I'm also feeling good about being able to help this person.
Yeah.
But it's also having that other benefit of they're being helped in that area of their life. And so it's like everyone is getting better just by going through that interaction. And that's incredible. So that's really awesome.
And that specific point actually attacks one of the biggest lies men believe today. And it's that, if I talk about my problem with my brother, I'm piling onto him. He's got enough on his plate. I'm burdening him, blah, blah, blah. No, you're not. Because it inherently means if you come to him with your problem, that you respect him enough and trust him enough to actually lay your problem before him and ask for his help. That dude feels like $1 million right now. He does not feel overburdened. If he did, he'd say so. Dude, I'm sorry. I just don't have the time right now.
Exactly.
But if he does, and he's going to have the time, guys, he's going to feel really good. Holy cow. You know, Scott respects me enough to come with his problem to actually ask for my help. I feel incredible now. And then when I am able to help him and it actually works well, I feel even better. This is how we're designed. Men are designed for connection. We're not these robots. I think stoicism is misunderstood. Most men think that being stoic means you have no emotion. Not true, men. You're a human being. You have emotions. The way we process them is very different than women process them. However, you still have them. Stoicism means you capture your emotions and you are in control of them so that you respond, you don't react. But you have emotions. So in the same vein, it's not just for negative ones, it's for positive ones too. Having deep brotherhood connection together makes you feel incredible. It makes you feel strong and powerful and invigorated. Like when I'm done on a client call or something, especially with a one-on-one client where we're going through a specific issue in their life, and at the end of it, like I can feel the energy through the phone or through the internet, like how much better he's doing, I feel that much better too. It's impossible to not have that transfer of energy, because this is, we're men. We understand each other to the core. And when you actually get honest with each other and have some courageous transparency with each other, because everyone's afraid of vulnerability, it's courageously transparent with each other, you win in the exchange. Everyone wins. Even if we haven't solved the necessary problem and it's going to be a long lift over time, everyone's winning because you're actually connected maybe for the first time in your life.
That's right. Just for the listeners, so for some folks who maybe have never been privy to how podcast recording interviews go, after we're done recording here, we'll typically stay on and chat for a couple minutes afterwards. And and I've done enough episodes now that afterwards, something comes up during the episode, and sometimes a guest will come to me and say, "Hey, can you help me out with this thing?" And or make an introduction to so-and-so that someone that we might've talked about during the episode or something like that. And never once at all, out of all the episodes I've done, this is over 430 episodes I've done, not a single time have I ever been like, "Oh my God, I wish this person would just shut up and so we can wrap this thing up." Every single time I'm like, "Absolutely. Let's make that connection. Let me help you out with that thing." Even if it takes me, a little bit of time to help this person out, I'm always going to be like, "Yeah, let's work through this and let's help you out." Sometimes it's another podcaster. And it's like, "Hey, I love the way you have things set up. How do you do it? Can you help me out? Give me a couple pointers." Yeah, I'm going to sit there. I'll give them some help. I'm never going to be like, "Man, I wish this person would just shut the hell up because I don't want to listen to this anymore."
I might be the first one.
No, no. I mean, it's never happened. And so, but also, like, think about it. Flip the script a little bit. If a friend came to you and was like, "Hey, I got this problem. I need some help with. I need to work through this problem. Maybe it's my career. Maybe it's my marriage. Maybe it's stuff with my kids. Whatever." Would you be like, "Man, figure it out yourself. Get out of here. Leave me alone." Like, you wouldn't do that. I mean, most people wouldn't do that, right? And so if you wouldn't do that, what makes you think that person would feel that way about you, that you're a burden on them, or you're putting them out somehow or whatever? It works both ways. If you're willing to give to that person, they're going to be willing to give to you. The only difference is you got to be able to ask, right?
That's right. Yeah. So if you're believing that lie, "Oh, I'm going to burden them" or whatever, all that means, and this might sting a little bit, but it's the truth and it's the one you need to hear, is it means you don't respect yourself. You don't value yourself enough to speak up for yourself.
Absolutely.
That should hurt. If you're there, and I feel you. Like, I have so much empathy for you. If that shoe fit right now, when I just said that, I don't want you to suffer like that anymore. Isolation is killing you. This is not some small thing. All right. I've seen a stat that it's upwards of almost 85% of men don't have a single close friend they can call. That's insane. We wonder why men commit suicide 3 to 4 times more often than women. That might be part of the problem, guys. We're bottling it all up and pretending we can just white knuckle life by ourselves. Like, it's literally killing men.
Right.
I'm not being hyperbolic. The stats speak for themselves. Men's mental health is a joke. Like, it's a disaster in our country right now because we're so cut off from each other, because you're denying one of the reasons you were designed in the first place is to have connection with other men that you respect and trust. I'm in lots of like groups, kind of this type of deal where we talk pretty honestly with men that I consider to be my peers, right? Because I need coaches. I need mentors too. It's not a one-way street.
Yeah.
And one of the guys in the group, man, he was really struggling with something. And we finally got it out of him. I kind of interrupted and I was like, "Hey man, we're here for you. We're doing this every Saturday morning to meet with you. So if you have a problem, give it to us now, man. Like, we will hold that space for you." And he finally said it, laid it down. I told him, "Dude, we value you. You are worth it to us. Like, you will always be worth it to us." And he's 50. And he said, it's the first time in his life someone's told him that. That is not the way, men. if you're in that boat right now, please give me a call. If I can't get you in the program or whatever, I'll connect you to someone who can, but who can help you in some way. But isolation is literally destroying us.
It is.
I don't think there's any bigger issue currently for men. I think it is honestly the number one problem. If we start to fix that, a lot of these other downstream effects just resolve themselves anyway, because we're rooting things out before they get to that point where a man feels like he has to take his own life as the only solution to his problem. So I'm really serious about this kind of stuff, and I kind of poke a little bit because it needs to sting so that you will wake up. If you're just drifting, it's a slow and miserable death. I want you to live a life full of abundance and purpose. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make tons of money. That's not the point. The point is to live full in what you have the means for, and to fulfill what you can with the gifts that you have, the capabilities Absolutely. That you have. That's my only mission.
And it's a great mission. And I think it's definitely a mission that is needed in society today, unfortunately. Like you said, I wish you didn't have a job. I kind of wish you had your business fails and there's nobody that comes knocking on your door.
Well, no, we succeed so much that we don't need to exist anymore.
Maybe fail was a too harsh of a word there. I hope you succeed so much that this isn't needed. But it clearly is. You just look around. It's not going in a good direction, and we definitely need people like you, programs like the ones that you offer, to get people back on track. For the listeners, or anybody who comes across this who is looking to get involved with your program, where can they go to find out more information?
Yeah, so the website is theelitesentinel.com. I'll provide you everything to post in the description. That's going to be the one-stop shop for all the info. You can actually click there, I think, to book me for time. If not, I'll also give you my Calendly link, Scott, so that you can share it with your viewers.
Great.
The best place to find me on socials is X. I post there very frequently. So if you want to come see some of this, I basically talk about what we train on X every single day. You can get a good snapshot there. It's at Elite Sentinel X. And then me personally, I'm on Instagram. It's george.hayworth. Again, all the links we'll give you, like I'm all over, but just reach out to me somewhere. Say that you saw this podcast and you're interested in learning more or getting connected to someone who can help you. And I will make the connection. At a minimum, I don't want you to feel alone.
Absolutely. I
want you to grow.
Yeah, I will definitely have links to all of this in the show notes so that the listeners can check it out. Definitely reach out, get involved with one of the programs, and try to make those improvements in your life.
And even if you don't want to work with me, like let's say you listen to this episode and you're like, dang, and I fixed this thing in my life. I want to hear about it. I want to hear about your wins. Men should celebrate each other more often. We don't give this to ourselves. We've actually conditioned ourselves to only be hard on ourselves. So if this helped you and something changes in your life just from this episode, let me hear about it. I'd love to hear about it. I want to celebrate
the crap out of that. I mean,
I love it, man. When I get messages like that, it's like I could run through a brick wall.
Right. I feel the same way. Every once in a while, I get a message from someone. It's like, hey, I really needed to hear that episode. I'm really glad you posted that. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, that type of thing. I'm on top of the world for the rest of the day. I could move a mountain,
I love it.
What that does. And it's not because I feel like I did something great and that's the motivation for me. It's like, hey, there's a person out there who has improved somewhat in their life, in some area of their life. Exactly. that's what gets me motivated, and that's what gets me going. So, we need more of that, and we need more people to share those types of stories. Don't feel like you're being, you're bragging or anything like that in a negative way. You're celebrating it, and that's a great thing, and we should do more of that. So, George, thank you again for taking the time to come on the show. Thank you for what you're doing. I think it's definitely something that people are definitely in need of. And I appreciate all the hard work that you do.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for having me on. Forging Leaders, Building Legacies. Let's get to it, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.